This feels like the 11 a.m. Press conference when you've got the Premier, you've got the health person, now you've got the policeman. The policeman comes on, Tim, and says, hey, you know, we got a guy out in Riverwood. We got five people in Bankstown. We got six people at Bondi. Please behave yourself. But we're more worried at the moment in our own world because it's changing by the day. Tim McGibbon, CEO of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales. Tim, again, you spend time listening to the stuff. You then decipher it. You then come up with you form a view and an opinion. That opinion stays relevant for a few days, sometimes one day. What's the latest, Tim?
Yeah, so yesterday, Tom, when we spoke, I said to you that I didn't have any answers because I didn't have a document to look at. So today I've got some of the answers, but the document that they've given me doesn't provide us with all the answers. So let me go through what I have got, and then I'll tell you what I haven't got. So this is what we know. This thing started yesterday. So we only got the document today, but the capture of it started yesterday. It finishes on the 11th of September, midnight on 11th of September. Now, to be eligible for the moratorium, and when I talk about the moratorium, is you can't be evicted as a residential tenant. We'll come back to the commercial guys another day, but as a residential tenant, you cannot be evicted if you are what is known as an impacted tenant. And to be an impacted tenant, your income must have been disturbed by COVID in some way. So when I directly or indirectly. So you were working and you lost your job because of COVID, you've been impacted. You had to quit your job because one of your relatives was impacted or whatever. So it's directly and indirectly. So if you can tie it back to COVID, you tick the first box. Now, the next box is about having the household income. So when we talk about the tenant could be two or three or more people in a property. And the household income is all of those rent-paying occupants in the property, all of them put together, you have to do a calculation and see if the income of all of those people has dropped by at least 25% as compared to the last 4 weeks. Now, the last 4 weeks goes back until the 26th of June. Okay, so you have to look at that period. So you add up what everybody earned in the house for those 4 weeks, get an average, and then look about what's happened now. So that is going to be a little bit problematic because everybody in the house may be of the view that they don't want to know everybody else in the house to know how much money they earn and et cetera. So they'll have to come clean with that and put it all on the table to calculate whether or not that 25% is there. And if that is there, then they become what is known as an impacted tenant. And that's the first step.
Okay. So what you're saying is essentially the term that we use, household, let's call them flatmates, right? Let's call them flatmates, Tim. What you're saying to me is one person loses work, the other two don't lose work. You add their three salaries together, and if those three salaries together are 25% less than the 4 weeks leading to what date?
26th of June. So if you're looking at the period back to the 26th of June,
yeah,
okay, and you add up those weeks, add all those weeks up, and divide it by the four, And then you look at the latest period and you say whether you are or you aren't going to be less than that. So let's say, for example, make life really easy, that between the two of us, we were getting $100 a week. So you add all that up, 100, 100, 100, so you got 400 divided by four. That means our average income coming into the household was 100. You're earning 50, I'm earning 50. I lose my job entirely. I got no income and you've got yours. So all of a sudden, we've only got 50% of the money coming in, which is greater than the 25. I'm an impacted tenant.
Got you. Okay. That's interesting, eh? You can hate each other's guts, but all of a sudden, you've got to sit down collectively and say, mate, here's the deal. We've got to sort of talk about what we earn. So then if you are an impacted tenant, that would mean that all three are impacted.
The household is impacted.
The household's impacted.
Yeah, okay. And it's a great observation, Tom, because you've got somebody in the house who can't afford anything. The other one or two, as the case may be, they can afford to continue paying their bit, but it becomes an impacted tenancy.
Okay. And then if you are an impacted tenancy, what does that allow you under the new rules to do in your tenancy situation?
So the next thing that once you've determined you're an impacted tenant is that you serve notice on the landlord, and in this case it would be on the agent acting for the landlord. You would serve a notice on them and you say, I'm an impacted tenant, all right? And what you also have to do is pay 25% or more of the rent. Now, if you do both of those things, then you can't be evicted. All right. So there's two things that come out of that in my mind. So the first thing is that the way I read it, that the person who makes the determination of whether you're an impacted tenant or not is the tenant. Now, certainly from where the landlord sits, they would want to be saying, I want to see some evidence before we start going down this pathway. I want to see if, in fact, you are an impacted tenant. Now, the landlord can ask for that, but they can't compel the tenant. So the reason I say that is because there is nothing in the regulation that prohibits the landlord asking for the information, but there was equally nothing in the regulation that can compel the tenant to provide it.
Okay. Right. Okay.
That's the first thing, and I think that needs to be modified. The second thing in there, which I find really odd, I said to you that you have to pay 25%. Of the rent to satisfy the requirements to not be evicted. So if you can't afford the 25% to pay, then you can be evicted. So if you're a little bit poor,
yeah,
you're okay. If you're a lot poor, you're not.
Okay.
Which I think it's bizarre.
Yes, yes. So Tim, so we're clear. So far in this conversation, what we're talking about is the eviction side of it, right?
Yep.
You know, we haven't spoken about the fact that some tenants are going to say, "Hey, this ain't about getting evicted. I can only pay you this amount of rent."
No. So if they are not an impacted tenant, and we spoke about that, if they're not an impacted tenant, then they don't get the benefit of the moratorium and you can have them evicted.
You can have them evicted.
Yeah, you serve the notice. You serve the notice as always. And just while I'm on the subject, last time we did all this, Tom, 12 months or so ago, they changed all the notice periods, you might recall.
Yes.
Now, this time they haven't changed them. So the notice periods are the same as what they were before this particular regulation has come out.
Okay. And this, Tim, covers them till September the 18th.
September the 9th.
Oh, sorry, September the 9th. September the 9th. Okay. And was there anything spelled out about, like, if let's assume that they pay this 25%, which means that they're 75, if a landlord is 75% short, was there anything spelled out about how the landlord would actually recover that 75%?
No, there isn't. It's what I said at the outset of this conversation, Tom, that I've got as many questions as I've got answers. So if the tenant doesn't pay all the rent, now, as I said to you, they've got to pay a minimum of 25%, but they can certainly pay more than that. But let's say, stay with your example, that they pay the 25% and there's 75% which they haven't paid. My question is unanswered. Is that going to be a rental waiver? Is it going to be a rental deferment? Is it going to be a bit of both? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. And we've got no guidance on it.
Mm. Look, you know, I can listen. I mean, out of everything that you've just said there, the issue that I think we're going to have to come to grips with, and there's no answer at the moment, is the fact that this is a self-assessment by the tenants. This is a tenant that are going to come in and say, mate, I'm an impacted tenant. The agent says, well, show me. And they say, mate, I'm not showing you anything. I'm telling you, I'm an impacted tenant. And I'm going to give you, instead of giving you $400, I'm giving you $100. Here's that rent. And that's life at the moment as we see it.
Yeah, so, and that's right. That unfortunately is a lovely summary, Tom. That's exactly what the regulation is saying to me. That's what could happen. Now, as you said, we do need, I think, it's just and it's equitable for us to be able to see the documentation, to ask somebody to prove it to us, and secondly, to find out what is going to happen with this rent that's not being paid. You know, we're given no guidance on that. So I think we've got to find that out. One of the other questions, Tom, that I'm getting asked is the $1,500. So what's the story with the $1,500? How do I access that if I'm a landlord? And at this stage, I don't know. We've been given
what $1,500? Sorry, I'm not across it. What $1,500 is that? Is there?
If you're a landlord and you are giving a tenant some rent relief, that you are eligible for $1,500. Now, the things I don't know is the exact eligibility criteria and the avenue that I have to pursue to get my $1,500. Now, the other complicating factor in that was they said that you would get land tax relief, and I'm assuming to the $1,500, maybe more. But unfortunately, or as the case may be, only 16% of residential landlords pay land tax anyway. So we're only talking about 16%. I mean, the other 84% are going to be looking for their $1,500. So we're trying to get answers on that as well.
Okay, beautiful. Nothing we can touch on commercial?
Not yet. I've got to go away and read that as soon as I stop now.
All right, Tim.
The other thing, Tom, that we are producing as of now at the Institute at least is some documents. Now, when we've just explained this, it is hard to actually walk your way through. And I should imagine there's people listening to this and watching this going, I don't get any of that, and I have a lot of sympathy for them. So what we're in the process of doing now, and we should have it up in tonight or tomorrow morning, will be some documents that will, you know, follow the bouncing ball documents.
Yes.
Make them available shortly.
All righty. Well, everyone that's in real estate needs to be connected and a member of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales, because maybe you don't use the REI NSW every day of the week, but all of a sudden when it rains, it pours. And what you're sort of saying to me is you're going to provide all the members a pack, which is just going to help them through, and that's in the process as we speak.
There's a question on Facebook. Is there any clarity on what happens if you were in the process of evicting a tenant prior to COVID who is nine months behind on rent?
Yeah, okay, good question. So any eviction processes that you had in place prior to yesterday are unaffected by the moratorium. So the moratorium only covers people, impacted tenants, and so I satisfy that, as of yesterday until the 9th of September. So the action that your person is taking in this question, that's unaffected by the moratorium. The other thing, Tom, just to make mention of this, I'm hearing also that the sheriff in some locations is refusing to serve notices. So that's one I can't help with either, just to make people aware that that can be a problem. One final thing, Tom, that I was thinking of, this particular regulation applies right across the state. There were some people were saying to me, oh, is this just for Fairfield or Greater Sydney or whatever, and it's done it. It covers the state. So one further bit of clarity.
Oh, even all areas, even areas that haven't had COVID at all.
Goes all the way out to my hometown, Broken Hill, if anyone out there is listening.
Mate, great part of the world. There's not a case in Broken Hill, is it?
No, I wouldn't have it out there, mate.
No. All righty, Tim. Listen, let's see how we go. We've got our friends in Victoria that have now got a bit of a small cluster happening there, and there's talk that things are going to happen there. And again, you know, guys and girls, those of you that are watching, please don't underestimate the privileges that we have as our industry. Number one, and the privileges that we have an industry in this state. I mean, Tim, you know, a lot of the real estate industry, and I've got to commend them, they're doing it in a pretty decent way. They're going about it in a COVID-safe way, and they're pretty productive. They're, you know, there's so many deals that you're hearing that agents, I heard an agent of mine signed a contract 66W, $25 million property yesterday, done deal. There's a client that sold 9 properties in the last week. Amit, was it Amit? Yes, it was. Amit from McGrath, I think, sold 9 in a week. There's sales happening, you know, left, right, and center. People are putting their properties on the market. Virtual options, whilst they're not for everyone, a lot of people have jumped on and they're embracing it, and the clearance rates are good. So let's keep things going well, and no social media posts as a real estate agent, you know, doing anything that's not, you know, right. You know, that's just going to bring the spotlight to an industry that's doing things pretty good, Tim, you know.
Absolutely, Tom. I could not do anything other than wholeheartedly agree with you. As I keep saying to people, this is a privilege, not a right. And every time I hear the words, essential industry, I get a little bit concerned. So far we're in that category. We're able to keep going, but let's not give them a reason to take it away from us.
Yeah, and you got to, and I think essential, like it's, you know, like I think, Tim, you know, I said to a client, you know, a couple of clients are saying, oh, Tommy, we want to do the training, but we don't want to do it by Zoom. We'll do it face-to-face. I said, guys, let's just leave it. And, you know, one of them said, oh, no, you know, we're an essential service. I said, listen, I don't think a face-to-face training session, when you haven't had one for three years, makes it essential this week, right? You know, like we could probably go off and say we're in here, right? But, you know, sometimes I think there's black and white law and there's common sense law, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, there is. Absolutely.
All righty, Tim. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I'll keep you in the loop. And thank you for the opportunity to get this message out there. I appreciate
it. Absolute pleasure. We're getting good, you know, on social media. We're getting, you know, views of thousands and thousands of views on social media of these updates. For many people, it's just, you know, there are different people. Some people like to read an email. Some people are just used to me having a chat with them. So we're just trying to make sure that whichever platform, whichever method people are using, that they're educated.
Yeah. Okay. And again, Tom, thanks. I'll keep you in the loop with what's happening.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.